One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Just another boy from Chelsea in town. Moved to Clapper J so I can get down. I'm the richest on my street right now. I even took an Uber back from Camden Town. So I'm brunching now. Head to the gym for some crunching rounds. Got blondes on my left to look naughty. Go to Inferno's and spend more peace.
Take me to Inferno's, wanna dance all day. Wanna have a brunch and clap from Alton, yeah. I really want to take money off you. My little push boy.
He said, hey chica,
it's bloody good to finally meet ya.
I just met this rich kid and I'm gonna steal his cash. I hate the way he's mundane, keeps on saying
love and champagne.
Don't like his yellow cords, but his wallet's incredibly endearing. And yes, I'm kind of in a hurry, but I heard that his father's worth 30 million, and that's a lot of money. First I must just pretend I wanna be his best friend. Then I'll take the cash from this little posh boy.
This little posh
take
boy.
Take me to Inferno's, I wanna dance all day. Wanna have brunch and clap in my old town, yeah. I really want to take money off you. You could be my little posh boy. My little posh boy.
More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies.
A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Reapers Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and for the last
C
series ever, we are joined.
Is for the chat I give
cousin
to you. H is for a Helly Hansen jacket or two. A is for all the deals I do for you. T is from the Tupperware I eat all day. Chat is what I like to deliver for you. Let's be delivering the chat for you or two.
All right, Archie.
Sorry.
You bought some Tupperware with some cake in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that cake?
That is cake from Johnny Jono's birthday. I'm not having it.
Is that for me?
No, that's for you.
Thanks a lot. Did you know?
You'll notice that's pretty much hot, like pretty much a whole cake.
Yeah.
I didn't have any.
So how did he celebrate?
What, Johnny Jones' birthday?
Johnny Jones' second birthday. Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, it was a big birthday because you know this year it was different, Clodus. You know, having a 2-year-old, it hits different than a 1-year-old.
Go on.
You know, she still doesn't know really what's going on, but there's a little bit more banter. You know, we have some pretty good conversations.
Yeah.
Although she does still like cry over the littlest things.
What do you
like? Just so you know, if you cut the toast the wrong way, absolutely loses it.
Bedlam.
What I do think that is that's just her becoming a woman, a girl. Because I do remember when I was younger, my mum used to cry all the time, like out of nothing. But especially after the divorce, she'd just be like wailing.
Right.
And like no one would do anything. You just walk into the kitchen, she'd start a conversation and then just start crying.
Yeah.
So I think that's just the thing. You know, okay. She'll grab that, I'm sure. But no, it was good. It was a good birthday. And you know what I gotta say, I have started to really love her. Yeah. She's great fun to be around. I mean, she's got very limited sporting ability right now.
Bit like a fella.
Oh, good one, Cletus. I've got a lot of sporting ability.
Okay.
That's basically why I've been so popular all my life, because I was good at sport. I'm okay. Lucky. You know,
that's your number one tip in life,
if I wasn't good at sport at school, who knows where I'd be. Wouldn't be in this position. But no, I thought long and hard what to get her this year. Got her a Whoop.
Okay.
Because I think it's good for her to see
you
her sleep
her
data.
You got her a Whoop, a two-year-old girl.
Well, because sometimes she doesn't sleep very well, and then that leads to her being even more grouchy. And
so
even
you
more
want her to analyse
so
it.
I'm allowed to analyse that, and then I can share the data that a two-year-old would be able to understand. And I got her members to Third Space, which is an amazing place. The only downside is she can't go by herself.
Right.
She has to be accompanied by me. But that's okay. We like working out together. That's fine. And actually, her watching me will only inspire her. So, you know, just put it in. The foundations for her to be a world-class athlete.
But I can imagine you must have had her friends from nursery around. Like, how did you actually celebrate the day?
No, just kept it simple. Just family. Just me, her, and a nanny. And, they didn't drink, but I got absolutely on it. Like, it's a birthday, isn't it? You celebrate a birthday. You should celebrate a birthday. Got a load of alcohol in. And, like, from 10:30 on Sunday morning all the way to 6 p.m. It was like a bloody session at the ship at my house, just going for it.
Just by yourself.
Yeah, but they were there.
Yeah,
they
but you were drinking. But, yeah.
Music was going like 1 o'clock. I felt so good. I've had like 4 bottles of Corona and at least 5 or 6 Aperol Spritz. And I just had Nickelback blaring. And I think she loved it. I think she got a little bit upset about the cake situation because I would not have any.
Yeah.
And she really wanted me to have some, but I just tried to explain to her there are so many bad nutrients in that for me right now. And 1 minute on the lips for me is a lifetime on the hips.
Yeah.
I'm in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
you got to be more careful.
I've got to be a bit more careful. I tried to explain it to her, but I don't think she could really understand through the slurring because I was having such a good time. But I woke her up this morning and just said that was actually one of the best birthday parties I've been to.
Well, Arch, unsurprisingly, loads of people have been in touch over the last week saying we can't believe it. The final series of the multi-award winning Reapers podcast.
Yeah.
But it's true.
It is. It's sad news. It probably, can you put a bit of sad music on?
Yeah, sure.
Because I think that really helps with this. Yeah. But yes, we can announce now this will be our last ever full season.
The rumors
are
true.
It is sad. But the good news is we've got another nine episodes.
Yeah,
left this year.
A couple of specials probably leading into the big show.
A couple of specials next year. We've got our last ever live show at Clapham Grand, which will be the first weekend in February. It'll be Ireland versus England. We will be doing a podcast before the game in the Clapham Grand. We've got some mega guests about to be confirmed. We're doing a podcast before the show, getting on the lash, playing some games. Then there's the preview to the game. Then we'll do some halftime analysis. And then we'll comment on after the game as well.
Post-match fun.
But what I would say is, look, it is sad, but all things must come to an end. We've had an incredible ride together.
Wonderful.
Doing this for 4 years. Yeah. We've interviewed...
Nearly five.
We've interviewed some of the best people in sport, entertainment, music. It's been incredible. We've been to a World Cup with it. And we are very grateful for everyone that's listened over the years.
Yeah.
But realistically, you can't just keep going. We want to go out on top. We feel like this is a great product where it is.
Yeah.
We see so many other podcasts going, and we don't want to like just keep going for the sake of it. It's not the end, Fred. It's not the end. We've got a few other things in the pipeline.
We do have a few other little treats coming.
For the Rigbiz, you know, there'll be one-off specials next year and a live show that we are really excited about. But who knows? Maybe in the future we'll come back. But we do feel like it's a good time to park the Rigbiz bus. It's been
parking,
incredible.
Just parking. Who knows? May stay in the car park forever, may not.
Can you turn the sad music off?
Yeah, sorry.
Can you put some happy music on?
I'll put some happy music. Well, I didn't mean happy music, but what I do need to say is that we are... After last week's shot defeat, we were talking about the boxing last week.
Yeah.
We are obviously joined by a great man today.
Oh, Chris Billum-Smith.
Yeah.
Perfect, because...
WBO champion of the world.
And he's got a double barrel name. Suits this podcast down to a T. Well, maybe we don't need happy music. Shall I just go onside? Chat.
Hello, gents. Hello.
Thank you so much for giving us the time. We know you're a busy guy. I'm a busy guy as well. So, you know, it's just nice to find time in our schedule to have some banter.
We should say, obviously, we're delighted today to be joined by the WBO Cruiserweight Champion of the World, Chris the Gentleman Billum-Smith.
I mean, Chris doesn't want to go into too much detail, but what I do respect about Chris, he's got a double barrel name, which is, you know, what we like in Clapham. And I think he would say I added that 1% in the Richard Rea Rakpor fight because, you know, he'd been listening to the chat. you know, I'm full of confidence. I back myself 100%. Although I lost to Alex Payne in a fight, that, you know, that was an off night.
He's nearly 50 years old, Alex Payne.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it was
experience.
It wasn't written in the stars. His reach was longer. He was heavier. It wasn't in a right weight catchment. But yeah, I've helped Chris along the way.
Do you send Chris videos, like motivational videos before the fights?
He asked me to stop doing that because I was doing them. I was showing him my morning routine where I do 50 naked press-ups, 50 naked jumping squats, and 50 naked sit-ups. And he just said, look, that's enough. Thanks so much.
I've seen it.
Stop doing it.
It was too much for me to be able to keep up with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's rare you hear that. Too much motivation.
too much nakedness. How did you come up with your boxing name, The Gentleman? And then, Archie, you can tell us what yours was.
Yeah. Did you ever consider Chris No BS Billum Smith?
Yeah. That could have worked. Just be no BS.
Good idea.
Yeah, I think that would have been quite
cool. You love giving out nicknames, don't you?
Yeah. I mean,
go on, take through a couple of your favourites.
In my rugby team, where you got Simba, that's because his dad died. Then you've got Rhino. He's a prop forward. He only has sex every 5 years, hence Rhino. Daniel Tennant's Ralph, the detonator, because when he goes out, it goes off. He's actually married to kids now, so he doesn't really go out that much, which is a shame. What else? You got Wetter, the hooker. That's because he wet the bed once. Just classic stuff like that.
Yeah. What was your boxing name?
My boxing name was Archie the Magician Curzon. That's because they call me the Magician.
It.
Yeah, because I make things happen.
Apart from in the ring.
Yeah. Well, it was a tricky situation. You know, I've been in the ring once and it didn't work out. But you know, we all have off nights. Anthony Joshua had an off night. It's hard because he was a taller guy. Am I right, Chris? And when you're fighting someone taller, you've got to double jab and move in and go to the body and then get in there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's how you tactic. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You've got to get in close.
Yeah.
He's also southpaw. You didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I would say I was modelling myself. I've got a couple of favourite boxers. Chris is one of my favourite boxers. I like his style. I like Joshua Boazzi. That's my kind of thing. I'm like a slick sort of... That's what I wanted to be. Like an old school sort of fighter, you know, slick and seamless, throwing off the combinations. Unfortunately...
They didn't come off.
I looked a bit more like Anthony Joshua.
You did? Well, let's talk about Anthony Joshua. I mean, obviously, that's 4 losses in 8 fights now. You know, historically, if you lost that, you were just out the game. You were retired. What do you make of his next steps? What do you make of the fight, firstly?
I kind of not called the fight exactly, but I thought Daniel could beat him. And my biggest concern was Daniel dealing with the occasion. I sat there, and as soon as I saw him back in the ring, I said, Daniel rounds 5-8. And yeah, obviously got rid of him in the fifth round. But I think just because Daniel overcome a lot, his biggest weakness was his own mind in the fights that he lost. And Joshua hadn't really boxed anyone of note in the last few fights and hadn't really performed phenomenally. You can say perform well against Francis Ngannou, but Daniel would have probably done exactly the same thing to Francis Ngannou as well. So, it's a guy who never won a boxing match. So, yeah. And then as for what's next, it's still a huge name. He can still come back and have some huge fights. I'm not sure. There was talk of a rematch. I don't think, personally, if I was his team, I wouldn't take that.
You're going out to Riyadh in a couple of months to put your belt on the line against Gilberto Ramirez. He's rated the best cruiserweight in the world by BoxRec. I mean, how challenging is that going to be? He's got a 46-1 record, 30 knockouts. How are we going to beat him? Not just you. How are we going to beat him?
He's a southpaw, so which obviously is an added factor.
Don't take Archie's advice then.
Well, Archie's got the experience now.
Alex Payne was a southpaw, but I didn't know that until the bell went and I'd been training for something else. And so when I was ducking my head down to go to the body, I was getting smashed. So maybe don't do that.
He's a tricky operator. He throws a lot of shots, a lot more than Richard Wood or Lawrence Coney would. They're more bigger one-punchers. But he throws a lot more volume in his shots and a lot more variety. And throws from a different angle naturally because he's a southpaw. So yeah, it's a hugely tough test. His only loss is against Dimitri Bivol, who fights next month.
Is it tricky that you're going to go to Saudi Arabia? Obviously, your last two fights have been at the Vitality Stadium and Sales Park.
Yeah, I mean it might not be as loud. I mean, hopefully I'll take a few over there and they'll be shouting. I think British atmosphere is different to everyone. Yeah. In the world, in terms of atmosphere, but I've also boxed behind closed doors in Matthew's back garden, Eddie Hearn's back garden back 2 years ago when there was literally no one there, probably 20 people, and you know, 10 or 15 of them are working just outside the ring on cameras or commentary or whatever it is. So I've got the experience there for quiet scenarios and also big atmospheres. So but I guess we'll just be ready for whatever comes.
How's Riyadh changed the game for boxers in terms of financially? Because like we're looking at 400-500% more than you normally get, right?
What? No, not for me in this fight. It's more, yeah, but it's not that much percentage. I think that's what everyone thinks. I think at the start it might have been that, but I think it's dropped off a bit. I think the promoters have probably got their hands on the money first and
cut
it down a little bit and. No, but like you know, I've got to deal with my promoter, and we're getting paid well. We can't complain about that. But it's nowhere near what I think people would think it is.
Talking about money, Jai Opatir called you out, offering you $1,250,000 to fight him. Is that going to happen? People saying you're trying to duck out of it. He accused you of ducking out of it. I mean, let's imagine that Joe. I think Joe watches the show.
Freddie, you are lucky you're on a camera.
I'm saying what's going on, and Chris can say this. You know, Joe actually listens to the show. What are you going to say to him? Because he's saying you've ducked out the fight. What do you want to say?
Well, I told him that I'd be ready in November, December time, and he was adamant on fighting on October 12th, which he is. But I'm now fighting a month after him, 5 weeks after him. So he could have waited 5 weeks, and we could have fought, but. You know, we are where we are, but I do think that fight will happen next. We've both got to win our upcoming fights, and then I think it will happen.
Where will it be? Are you interested in me potentially promoting it in Clapham Common, like putting up a stadium?
Yeah, I mean, as long as there's enough, we can get enough people there. You know, there's plenty of space.
Yeah, well,
plenty of space at Clapham Common.
Well, I mean, you've seen what's happened with Twickenham. They've now got Allianz Stadium. It's now called Allianz Stadium. And we're actually in talks with Coutts Bank to make it Coutts Common. And we were looking at doing a 12-hole golf course. But now I think we're looking at maybe doing like a 60 to 70,000 seater, like top of the bill stadium. And I think with the right kind of people, we could get that going.
I just worry about the time schedule. How are we going to get that done?
Don't worry. I know a guy in Saudi Arabia who knows some people who can come over and they can get it up. So don't worry about that. Yeah,
that's not a problem.
Yeah.
But,
After Party Infernos?
After Party Infernos, yeah.
Have you been to Infernos, Chris?
I haven't. No, I haven't. I obviously need to get down there.
You really do. Probably when you've retired, it's a place where you wouldn't want to be as a professional boxer.
Otherwise, it would retire me.
Yeah, it could retire you. Yeah, I mean, you have to be a real rugby guy. I mean, us rugby players, we can drink weekends and still get up for it. Shane used to train in Wandsworth, didn't he? But you're no longer there.
That was when I used to spend some time in Clapham. I used to get the train to Clapham and then back one stop to Wandsworth Town, and we were there.
Barry still involved or not?
Yeah, he comes and watches all the spars. He's there, you know, I'd say 95% of the sparring, he's there for all of the fighters that are in the gym. Obviously a legend, Hall of Famer, just loves the sport.
Do you reckon he'd still beat Archie up now if they fought? Probably.
No. He'd probably beat me up, to be honest. He comes in and does... I'll tell you a story about Barry. First time I met Barry, he walked in, I was sparring David Hay. David Hayes' gym, and I walked in. I started getting ready, and then Barry walked in, and he walked over in jeans and like a nice smart polo, smart shoes on. Went onto the dip machine, and just started whacking out like 50 dips without stopping. And that was probably 8 years ago now, but he still comes in the gym, dressed the same, whacks some pull-ups out, and he's got hands like shoveled. I mean, he would have no problem holding a rugby ball in one hand, that's for sure. He's got massive hands.
That's like a man after my own heart. I mean, in my office, Chris, which, you know, if you ever think about, you know, wanting to invest after you retire, please come and have lunch with me at the Ned. But in my office, I have a dip-up bar and a pull-up bar because I get my headset on and I'll be doing some pull-ups. I'll be like, John, how are you this morning? And he'll, you know, they sometimes say, are you on the loo? I said, no, I'm just doing 10 for 10.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Commercial break.
Chris, how does it work for the listeners? Some people won't be like understand, but obviously you're in Shane McGuigan's gym. How does it work in terms of getting into a gym? And is it like a company, like when your time's up, and maybe Shane will say to you like on your way, like obviously he let go of Lawrence Okolie, who then came back and fought you, and you used to be teammates, and he used to be number one. Is it run like a business, a stable, in terms of does Shane have the final say in if, you know, if it doesn't seem like it's working, you're not making your sales or you're not winning your fights as such? Is boxing like that? Is it run like a company?
He'll have the final say whether you join or not. You can't just go, you are now my coach. Yeah. A boxer can leave a trainer. And a trainer, I feel like trainers are very, very loyal, and they wouldn't want to leave a boxer. Regardless if they won or lost, I think they're very, very loyal. The only time you ever see it is if a fighter is maybe towards the end of their career, and the trainer might think that it's enough now. I don't think you need to have any more fights, like for their own health. And then a trainer would say, look, I don't want to be involved because I don't want anything bad to happen to you. So, and then they might, for want of a better word, sack the boxer. But, yeah. They might survive them to you know, hang the gloves up.
They could bring me in because I'm very used to doing that in the city. Like Shane could just, I could strike a deal maybe for like a day rate, come in. You know, I don't fear no man. You know, I'd just go in there.
Above and paying.
I'd say like when he got rid of Lawrence Okolie, I'd have brought him in. Lawrence, listen, first and foremost, I respect you. You look like a businessman. You're always in first class, setting up all kinds of weird stuff. It's time to go. You're not dedicated to the sport. See you later. And then I'd probably bring Lawrence Diallo with me as well, just in case it kicked off.
A bit
off.
Heavy. Yeah.
Just be like, Lawrence,
yeah.
Get him.
Does anyone ever try and poach you? Because obviously you're doing really well. And also, you know, I know you're with the new boy on the block, Ben Shalom. But, I mean, surely Eddie, Frank Warren, especially now you're WBO champion of the world for a number of years, surely they come poaching for you, don't they? Especially Eddie, that naughty boy.
Well, they can't. They can't. Once you're in contract, you know, legally they can't. They could get lawyers involved. They started trying to say this, that, and the other. So, you know, you sign a contract with a promoter, and they're your promoter. And I used to box for Eddie. I wanted to box down in Bournemouth and for many, many years. And he was like, "Yeah, we can try and do it. We can try and do it." And then it just never came to fruition. So I was like, look, at the end of this contract, he was like, you could sign another free fight contract, which means I would have got more money in my next fight, more money in my next fight and a free fight contract. And we said, well, if the next fight can be in Bournemouth, then great. And then he was like, or you take less money and you're out of your contract after this next fight. So I took the less money and I wanted to box in Bournemouth, and then obviously Ben Shalom and Boxer and Sky sort of made that happen. And then it's a bit of a legendary place to go. All the staff of Boxer and Sky like going down there, and all the fans love going down there, and obviously created an amazing night after we'd gone to a smaller venue, but an amazing night when we eventually went to the Vitalik Stadium.
We spoke to a UFC fighter. He said that when he's in camp, which, are you in camp right now, or are you about to go in?
Yeah, in camp. Yep.
You're in camp now. Do you refrain, obviously, from drinking, but like he was refraining from wanking and stuff like that? I mean, do you go that far?
I don't drink anyway. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, I do just as a mental thing. Yeah. No business in the sheets as well for the last couple of weeks either. So which, you know, my wife's probably not happy about, but pays the bills.
I've had a tricky Q3, and I've actually refrained from doing anything for the last 4 months.
Well, probably 4 years. Really.
No, 4 months. I've just said no sex, no nothing. Like, just like, please.
All celibate.
Yeah, I've just, that's it, and I'm seeing the impact now.
Just for work.
Yeah, I am ferocious on the phone. Like, you get me in the office, and we're like, right, guys, we're calling now from 10:30 to 11:30. Get ready. I'm like this, like that. I'm ready to
break records.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like a caged animal. Can I just ask, would you ever move up to heavyweight to fight Joshua just for a payday?
Those boys are big boys. I don't know if the money is obviously a factor, but it's, and I'm sure it'd be difficult to turn down if you offered it, but I've never been money incentivized, if that makes sense. So I wouldn't just do it just for the money. I've never ever done anything in
what life. What about if they said, okay, experience 98,000 Wembley, step up to heavyweight, like, because Lawrence Okoli's moved up to heavyweight right now, hasn't he? Or he's moving up.
Yeah, well, he's like kind of, they brought in a new weight category called Bridgerweight in between, yeah, or Super Cruiserweight.
That's like the equivalent of someone gives you like a you're a school monitor. Like, it's just a badge.
but you see what Usyk's done going up the weights. I mean, he's now become the best heavyweight of all time, arguably. I mean, there's no one who can touch him. Would you fight him at heavyweight, or if he came down? Because surely he's thinking to himself, shall I just go back to cruiserweight and just re-win all my old belts again? Because I've dominated heavyweight. That. Would you fight him? Would you fight Usyk? Can we call him out now?
I'd love him to come back down to cruiserweight. And then it'd be, for me, it'd be my dream next three fights would be Zerdo, Dog, Taya, and Usyk. All at cruiserweight. And for all the belts, it'd be phenomenal.
I think my next three fights, like Chris, I'd like to fight Miles Nazair from Maiden Chelsea. Absolutely take him down. Then take Billy Joe Saunders at his current state. And then fight Chris Eubank Jr. for the payday.
Which one?
I'd absolutely chat him off.
Oh, sorry, Chris Eubank Jr. Not his younger brother.
Not Harlem.
Who Jim Hamilton's just interviewed.
No, I would just take those and then I would retire. Would you take Jake Paul down?
I'm sure my kids and my wife would love me to for the financial reasons. But it's kind of that, I feel like you'd lose a lot of integrity.
No, but I'm saying end of the career, mate. When you're done.
But I feel like Tyson's losing his integrity. This is Mike Tyson, for God's sake. He's losing it. And he hasn't even done it yet. He just, even though he's, you know, however old he is, and he's way past the time. Exactly. And I mean, when was his last actual boxing match, when he actually retired? Like, that was a long time ago. So, and you still lose that, I don't know, you just lose that integrity and respect. I mean, I get why he's doing it. He's getting a substantial amount of money.
Do you think he can beat Jake Paul? Because he looks good on the pads, but I guess like a 58-year-old is a 58-year-old. And Jake Paul, look, he's not a pro boxer, but he is not bad. Like, he's fought some people and he can bang.
I respect Jake Paul. Basically, what I find with these YouTubers, they in boxing, you learn to box and then you build your fan base. Now, they just went the other way around. They just built their fan base outside of boxing, and now they started boxing and they're learning to box. And it looks like he's putting in the work all the time, Jake Paul. And you got to respect that he's constantly seems to be getting better. And unfortunately, people don't like it because you get paid a substantial amount of money, but that's because he's already built his fan base. It's not because of his boxing ability.
Anyway, it's a good time to say, probably, I am about to promote a new boxing match between Jason Fox and Lawrence Diallo, and that will be then to hopefully catapult.
Really?
Catapult into rugby. Yeah. That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Be some fight that.
Yeah. I reckon Diallo wins it. Foxy's too slow.
I've trained with Foxy. He's
No, but he's too slow on his feet, isn't he?
I can guarantee you is that Foxy will have the best ring walk gear in that fight, because he'll have it from Through Dark, my kits, and then guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes just look good, feel good.
Look good, play good. That's one of the lines I use in the office with the team before we go out to meet clients or to the guys in the change room before we play rugby. I say, guys, look good, play good. Don't worry about anything else.
Chris, you've been absolutely wonderful. We wish you the best of luck in Riyadh. We'll be coming out to support you, of course. But if you could just sort us out a couple of tickets on the flight, that'd be great. We're going to finish off just by asking you, like, of all the people you sparred, because you say you sparred David Haye earlier, how did you get on against him? And who's the trickiest or the toughest opponent you've ever sparred? Because obviously you've won all your fights, basically.
David Haye is definitely the biggest puncher. He ripped my head guard, so he hit me with like three punches, and I was like, felt like my head guard had come undone. So I went back to my corner and said, "Oh, can you do it up?" To my coach, and he's like, "No, I can't." I was like, "Do it up and feel it's undone." He goes, "No, mate, it's ripped, and the seam had ripped like from over about a centimeter left of thread that was holding it together." So we taped it up and got him to sign it. It was actually my coach's head guard, so he's got that. My old coach. He's got that in his little gym setup. But yeah, he was definitely a big, and this was very much past his prime, David Hay, as well. But they always say that power's the last thing to go. So.
Does he have jet? Does he have no jet? Does he have jet? Does he have no jet? Does he have no jet? Gonna ask those questions now. Joy, chat. Alexander Usyk, chat. Derek Chisora, no chat. Eddie Hearn,
chat.
Gilberto Ramirez,
no chat.
Cole Frampton,
no chat.
Bit of beef with him and Shane McGuigan in the end, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Richard Riakpore,
no chat.
Tyson Fury,
chat.
Anthony Joshua,
no chat.
And David Hay,
chat.
Chris Burnham-Smith, you've been absolutely wonderful.
Chris,
thank you so much
for your time. We really appreciate it. Good luck, mate.
Cheers, Archie. Cheers, Freddie. Take care.
The wonderful Chris Burnham-Smith.
Wow, good guy.
Giving us some good insights into the sport. Though.
Another example where the podcast has come on. I mean, we've had boxers before, Johnny Fisher, but I mean, like,
yeah, he's never won a belt.
He's a social media star. We've actually got a real world champion there. That's official.
He's about to be a unified champion. Middle of October, I think.
I think he will be.
Oh, by the way, are you going to be heading out to watch him in Riyadh? You probably tie in.
Yeah, I probably will. Probably tie in with a few meetings out there because I'm starting to do a lot more business out there in the Middle East. A lot of opportunities, obviously, off the back of LIV Golf.
Yeah.
You know, my name is pretty popular.
It's big in the kingdom.
There's a few people who want to have a piece of the Archie Curzon pie.
Yeah.
They've seen what I can do social media wise.
Yes.
But now they're starting to hit their, you know, little filter what I can do in the business world, and they say, okay, this guy's great. He's got a mustache. Let's get him in.
Well, Archie, we're about to give what the millions of listeners want.
What? Schooner Scorer is coming on the podcast?
No.
Oh, love that guy's content.
No, he's bloody good. He
is
good, though.
That is a good example. If you just keep doing the same thing, week in, week out, day in, day out, same thing, no real content, you make it. Bloody love that guy.
Well done, Scooter.
Oh, a big shout out to the social media manager at Saracens.
What a lovely guy.
He is going to actually love, I think you're going to say new section.
Yeah, we got a new section.
He's going to love, I don't remember his name, but he's such a good guy.
He's always wearing Saracens trackies.
Yeah,
if you're ever
good
the
guy. He's good mates.
He doesn't play rugby.
No, but he's good mates with a lot of the players.
Really good guy.
He is, you know what he is? Ultimately, he's a decision maker, and that's why I bloody love him.
Plays football on the pitch with him after. He's a really cool guy.
He's a really good guy. Big shout out to, I can't remember his name. I'll try and find his name for next week. Yeah. Really good guy. Love that.
But we should say we're about to debut our new section, which is obviously boss versus boss. You're going to phone up somebody who's asked you to give them a raise, but you're not going to phone that person up. You're phoning up their boss.
Yeah, I'm basically a boss talking to another boss, hence the name Boss to Boss.
Well, do you want to hear the music?
Yes, please, go.
I'm the boss of all bosses, and I'm going to help you out. Love a champagne.
Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss.
Hello.
Hi, is that Alex Tate?
Speaking.
Alex, hi. It's Archie Curzon here, the CEO of Clapham, the Chief Chat Officer. Does this phone call find you well?
Finds me marvellous. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm very well, despite the weather. Very well. Looking forward to going into a strong Q4. We're seeing a lot of buoyancy in the market at the moment.
Very buoyant.
Listen, Alex, I'm just reaching out in regards to Jack. He's been in contact to me, and we want to discuss with you his promotion. You know, I feel like it's time that, you know, he's ready to step up, and I want to make that happen. You know, we've got a new section on the podcast, which is Boss to Boss. This is why me and you are having a conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing you probably know about me is I make things happen, and I'm not getting off this phone call until Jack gets the promotion. Put it that way, okay? And if I have to come down to the office...
You drive a hard bargain. You drive a hard bargain, but my only issue is he's got a sloppy rig and he plays second-team rugby. Now, let me say, you know, I'm not one to judge, but if you want a promotion on and off the field, you've got to be performing. And for me, it's a little bit lackluster at the moment. Sure, the weather's a bit crap and the market's buoyant, but if I'm being honest with you, outside influences are affecting his workplace performance.
Alex, listen, I'm not going to disagree. You know, playing second team rugby is disappointing. I wasn't aware of that. He told me first 15.
He says that to his girlfriend as well.
Look, he can't help that he's crap at rugby. Some people are, but thank God he doesn't play hockey. Can we both agree on that?
I mean, he's not far off, if I'm being honest.
Okay,
he's not far off. He slips any further down the the pecking order at the club, he probably will be picking up a stick and hanging around Putney.
Listen, Alex, one thing I can tell you is that I am currently working quite extensively with him to improve him, not just as a person, but also his chassis. And why don't we make a deal? Let me, get Jack under my wing. If he can improve his rig in the next sort of 8 to 10 weeks, can we potentially talk about him getting a promotion, a pay rise, and starting to really spread his wings at the company?
For sure. Let's block some time in 8 to 10 weeks and we can reconnect. Preferably via LinkedIn, and we can see where we are there. Get some before and after photos of him, and that'd be great.
Yeah. And look, I think you can agree this call has been a great demonstration how business is conducted by two senior stakeholders in the business world. You know, it's simple. You just have to have dialogue. You need to open up dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Open up, be transparent. Keep the conversation flowing, and look, Jack's got a new opportunity in 8 to 10 weeks' time.
Yeah, I just thinking, I should just making me think. I really should call my dad.
Alistair might like to hear from you.
Yeah, just to open some dialogue with him would be good.
Wonderful. Right. It's okay. Don't cry, man. It's okay. He's out there somewhere.
No, I'm not crying. I'm just coughing. That's how I cough.
Yeah, of course. Keep it together, man. He wouldn't want you to cry.
I've just got a bad cough. I'm keeping it together. Okay, well, listen, it's been wonderful to have this dialogue. Let's just stay in contact. And well done. Have a wonderful Q4.
Love and champagne, Archie. Love and champagne. Love and champagne.
Well, Archie, it's been absolutely wonderful to have you here again.
Mate, strong podcast.
We've got a very naughty man coming up next week who's got a lot of chat.
Yeah. We have got some huge guests.
Very big.
Not just next week, the week after, all the way up to Christmas.
Very, very big.
Got some little things up our sleeve that should be good fun when it comes to Christmas time. Strong pod. And I think I've seen the numbers from last week, and I've got to say big shout out to everybody tuning in. Team effort.
Yeah.
Keep subscribing, commenting, liking. That's the good stuff.
Come on, leave us your comments now. This is it.
It's the end of an era. Now's the time. If you ever thought, I'd love to just drop a little note and just say, guys, great banter.
Just leave
Or just write, like, I don't think this podcast got enough banter. One star. That's quite good. That's quite funny. I bet Clarkie would do that. You know, from last week. He's absolutely funny. Mate, you should have seen the stuff that's going on in the Bums and Guns WhatsApp group. He's always there, like it, with a little thumb next to me. You know? He loves doing them. But honestly, though, don't write one star because that's cruel. Okay. 4 or 5 stars at least. I think the podcast deserves. Bloody good podcast.
It is a bloody good podcast.
I've got to be honest, mate. I'm hanging from the birthday pie still.
Okay, absolutely. Let you go?
Yeah, mate. I'm feeling rough.
What's your plan?
It's when you drink one-on-one with yourself.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you're going to win and lose.
Well, I'll let you go, Archie. It's been wonderful to see you. Please, guys, leave your comments. Share it around. Let's get around this last series. And keep your eyes peeled for the 1st of February, the biggest ever rugby show.
Yeah, clap and rant. We're going to sell it out. Just full to the brim of banter.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, can you make a note? Try and get hold of Schooner Scorer for that. Blow the socks off Clapham Grand.
Sending all the stars a name. Hoping he just tell her, hey, and I love you, baby. I love you, baby. Running all through my brain. Wishing that I could stay. Yeah, just to hold you, baby. Just to hold you, baby. From my army, Captain, can you get her to call me? Though I may be far gone, know that she's my only desire. Stay in her arms where the moon is shaded. Lose control.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.